Welcome to The Conservative's Guide to American Politics. My name is Ed Bejarano, and I am an otherwise happy-go-lucky conservative who enjoys life in North Idaho with his wife and two golden retrievers. For all intents and purposes, I keep to myself and figure folks should live and let live. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But I am frustrated watching the news. All I really tune in to see is the weather and maybe some local interest stories, but most of what they show me is their political bias and socialistic tendencies. The American media is no longer neutral. Instead, they use their megaphone to influence political power. The ideals of America have been hijacked by people who otherwise dislike or hate American ideology. I started this podcast as my way to fight back from my little slice of America. Call it a rallying cry for other common sense conservatives to arm themselves against the onslaught of negativity. It is time the America-hating progressives hear from the silent majority. It is time for conservatives to stand up and be heard. Welcome to Conservatives' Guide to American Politics. I have to admit right up front, it's getting harder and harder to create and produce this program. Not because I have any less passion for doing what I can to save America, but because it looks like the dam has so many holes in it that it's leaking so much water that I'm not making any difference. It comes down to the name, Conservatives' Guide to American Politics. Now, I'm not going to go through a name change, but I'm sitting here reading through the news on a daily basis, thinking, how can I give my listeners hope? How can I give you ideas for navigating the murky waters that are the American political system right now? We have situations going on in every corner of the world that are society ending, potentially society ending. We got rockets being lobbed into Israel, and Congressman Ilhan Omar takes to the mic and condemns Israel for defending themselves. We have Black Lives Matters that burns down cities, and they're celebrated as peaceful protesters. Up is down, down is up. And it's very difficult to produce a show that's supposed to give you some ideas at the end as to what to do. So today I'm just talking. No script. Got a blank sheet of paper in front of me. Well, blank computer screen anyway. And I'm just talking from the heart. There's a couple of things that are happening right now that have me most concerned. And I think you need to prepare. And I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to prepare for these things that are happening right now. The combat that's happening in Israel, while that has an impact on us, they've been fighting for a couple of thousand years. That's not something that is going to have direct impact on us, on America. The reaction of a radical congresswoman from Minnesota, yes, that has impact on America, only in that there's a large block of voters in her district who support her. So the morality of this woman serving as a congresswoman is the challenge that we face in America. But that's not the problem that I'm going to address today. We have a pipeline that's been taken over with cyber terrorism. And there's gas shortage that's going to be hitting the entire East Coast. Starting today, actually. I saw images on the news this morning. Cars are already lined up. The signs I remember from the 70s have been pulled out, dusted off, and set up. Fuel shortage. Won't be long and people will be rationed. Your odd license plate on odd days and even license plate on even days. None of the kids alive today remember this because they didn't go through it. Those of us who remember getting up early in the morning and pushing the car down to the gas station and pushing it through line in order to have a chance of getting some gas for that week, or because it was your license plate turn, it was an even day and it was your turn. I don't think millennials believed that, A, that would even happen. Well, here it is. Surprise. But folks like me, you know, this is the failings of socialism. And we've been telling millennials for decades, socialism fails because people with means don't participate. We don't get impacted by this. This gas fuel shortage, it's not going to impact me. My wife and I, we're very secure because we planned ahead. I'm an individual who believes in electric cars, not because I want to save the planet. You kidding? Electric cars, they're killing the planet. Have you ever seen a lithium mine? I'd take an oil well over a lithium mine any day from an environmental standpoint. No, I drive an electric car because I lived through the gas shortage of the 70s. That's why I drive an electric car. Because I know so long as the coal power plants are fired, as long as the power plants with natural gas and nuclear are running, I'm going to have a vehicle that gets around town. Now, we moved to an area of the country where I don't really need to drive on the freeway. We've got everything we need right here, and I'm going to talk about that in today's episode. But my little electric car is perfect for around town. And it's always fully charged because I pull into the garage and I just plug it right in. I'm not doing it to save the world. I'm doing it because millennials think they can. I'm driving an electric car because these kids have never taken a class in civics. And they believe socialism is the answer. And guys like me, we just don't participate. We see socialism coming, we just move out of the way. We take our riches and go home. Let me give you another example. There's a crunch on money right now. You probably don't even realize that. There's a shortage of money. In fact, I saw a statistic that cybercurrency right now has more value than there are dollars in circulation. During the COVID crisis, we went through periods of time, and I think it's still ongoing, where exact change is required because they don't have any coins. The shortage of money is hitting America. So why? Why do we have a shortage of currency? What is going on with the currency? You know, I think it has something to do with the fuel shortage. I think these are connected stories, and the reason why I'm telling this story today. You see, in the case of Obama's ideology, in the grand scheme of the hope and change, he said under his cap and trade policies, energy prices would necessarily skyrocket. He said that. You heard it. I heard it. The media heard it. The difference is had President Trump, or a Republican for that matter, any Republican, said, my goal is to make energy prices skyrocket, the media would have screamed bloody murder. You're killing people. People are going to freeze to death. They're not going to be able to get to work. You're going to crash the economic system. And you know, they would have been right. But Obama says, under my policy of cap and trade, energy prices would necessarily skyrocket. Well, and now you add to that the monetary system. They're making the shift over to cryptocurrency, digital currency. Why? We see this wild fluctuation in value. Bitcoin just 5 years ago was worthless. Now, it depending on the day, it could be worth $50,000, $100,000, or $10,000. And it just fluctuates. There's no set value. America was formed on a standard of exchange. For that matter, capitalism was formed on an exchange. I'm going to do some work. You're going to give me something in exchange for the work. We developed a monetary system. We developed a currency to monetize that effort. It used to be that you move into town, you're traveling through town, and you go out to a farm and you offer to help pull in the fields, pull in the crop, and the farmer feeds you and gives you some rations to move on down the line, and you move on down the road. But then we came up with a monetary system, with a currency, whereby you could earn that currency and then spend it on whatever you so chose. Well, we were making bad choices on what we spent that money on, apparently. Because under their system of cap and trade, energy prices would necessarily skyrocket. Well, that wasn't working fast enough. So let's control the monetary system. Let's control the dollar. First, we'll create a shortage. That's completely man-made. This would be like running a restaurant and 2 hours into the rush, 5 hours before close, you run out of food. That's just poor management. That's poor planning. You don't run out of food if you're running a restaurant. You don't run out of money if you're running a country. This is a planned event. Why is the government short of currency? Because they've got a plan. Because they want to do something that we're going to need dollars for. And what is that? Independence. The dollar equals independence. You know, the entire world has been flocking to the American greenback for decades, probably almost a century. The American dollar has been the standard currency for the world to operate on for 100 years. And why is that? Well, because we had a politically solvent country. Most of the world is in shambles. Most of the world looks like Israel and Palestine. Most of the world right now looks like Iran and Venezuela. They're a mess. They don't have a stable political system. They don't have a stable currency. They don't have a free market system whereby people can earn a fair profit from their efforts. And therefore, people flock to the American dollar. Well, that gave us immense power. Geopolitically, economically, and the likes of Obama and Biden, which is really just Obama 2.0, that didn't work out. Hope and change first meant they had to crash the system. We had to have nowhere else to turn. When America goes, we're not turning to Canada. We're not going to call on Mexico to help us. Germany's not going to come riding in on a white horse to save America. No, when America goes, so goes the world. I'm going to stop there on this world conspiracy because I want to talk about independence. What does it mean to be independent in May of 2021? So we've got this fuel shortage that's going to hit, and if you're back east, and a lot of you are, You're not going to be able to fill your cars. You're not going to be able to get to work. Since the government's paying you to stay home anyway, well, maybe that's a good thing. We've got so many people on unemployment, and they receive more money from the government to stay home unemployed than they would to go get a job. Let me say that again. We've got millions of unemployed people who make more money unemployed than they would if they went back to work. There is no incentive to work. This is the final step in a transformation to socialism. This hope and change crap, here it is. It's socialism. And one of the tenets of socialism is shortage. You know, a joke, one of my favorite jokes, socialist, people wait in line for bread. In capitalist systems, bread waits in line for people. And that's what we're experiencing today, right now, in parts of the East Coast, and it's going to widen today. There's going to be more spots on the East Coast that's going to run out of gas. We're going to have airports that shut down because they don't have jet fuel. And why? Because cyber terrorists took over a pipeline. We're not going to have the means to support yourself because there's no dollars. It's all going to be digital currency. And what does that mean? Well, we live in the age where cyber terrorists can dictate whether you can drive to work or not. What good is a digital currency going to be? For that matter, what's the value of that digital currency? You look at the market for the last couple of weeks on Bitcoin. I don't have the numbers up in front of me, but it's fluctuated by $10,000 or $15,000 per Bitcoin on a daily basis. One day it's up 10, next day it's down 20,000. What kind of stability can we draw as a nation from a digital currency that wildly fluctuates like that? Answer, we can't. That gives the government the ability to say, oh, we need to generate more revenue. Let's raise the value of Bitcoin. Poof. Made from nothing. Value from literally nothing. If you are investing in Bitcoin, you are perpetuating the problem. Sorry to be so blunt. You're the problem. Bitcoin is the bane of American society. This is the final nail in the coffin of America. When we shift to a monetary system that has no residual value, that has no provable value, then we are leaving our future to the whims of the powerful. The people in control get to dictate how much money you have in your pocket. See, right now I've got a bunch of cash in the safe. A bunch of cash. My wife and I have been storing cash for a very long time. You know, friends would tell me, boy, Ed, that's really stupid. You should have cash earning some interest. What interest? What interest am I going to earn in the bank, in the market, in the bonds? Okay, sure. The stock market has been going crazy. The stock market is up 1,000% in the last 10 years. But what does that mean? What's that value derived from? What does the value sit upon? What's the value of the stock market going to be if people can't drive to work tomorrow? What's the value of the stock market going to be if the government arbitrarily sets the value of the currency on a digital calculation? The answer is nothing. That brings me to the most important element of independence, subsistence. You got to be able to eat. So in a fuel shortage, my wife and I, we're getting around town just fine. We've got cash on hand so we can exchange the labors of our past for the needs of our future. The last thing is we got to be able to eat. And for that, I've gone ahead and I've purchased meat. I've got freezers. I've got backup power. I've got enough food and rations to keep my wife and I alive for months. Protection is the last one, but I'm going to save that one. Because if you don't already have your lines of protection, you're a little bit late. But ladies and gentlemen, the Conservative's Guide to American Politics is struggling because I don't know what to tell you. We are in a situation that is driven by the media. We've got these political wackos got a crazy idea of the future for the world. They're not looking at America. They're looking at the world. Look at LeBron James. He works more for China than he does the NBA. We've got these politicians that are serving their self-interest. No, the problem is the media, because the media is not doing their job. We gave them constitutional protections to protect us, and they're not doing their job. So, on the used market, get yourself an electric car, get around town. I paid $3,800 for mine. It was the best investment I ever purchased. 3 years ago, the thing's already paid for itself. Make sure that you've got enough cash on hold to get you by, to exchange your past efforts for your future needs. That's what cash does. And finally, get some rations. Costco, cash and carry, all of these bulk stores, time to use them. Go down and buy a 25-pound bag of rice, beans, and flour. With those three raw materials, you can feed your family for 6 months, if not more. I wish it wasn't so doom and gloom. Hopefully next week, I'll have better news. Thank you for tuning in.
A portion of this production has been sponsored by Joe at F1 for Help. Joe has been providing computer support for almost 30 years, and he has been my friend from the moment I met him over 4 years ago. I've used Joe for my computer tech needs, and I refer everyone who asks for computer help to Joe. No matter if you are in North Idaho or South Carolina, Joe can provide help with any computer-related issue. Give Joe a call today at 208-687-0183 for the best in computer support. Most problems can be fixed remotely, but Joe also makes house calls in the North Idaho region. F1 for Help. Please support the companies that support this program. This has been an episode of The Conservative's Guide to American Politics. I hope you've gained new knowledge that helps you in your day-to-day struggle to navigate the minefield of liberal ideals. The stance we take today will determine our future and the future for our children. Stand proud of your conservative ideology and look not for the shelter of silence, but speak your mind. Exercise your right to free speech, or one day the idea of America might only be a note in history.